Welcome to the Advancing Surgical Care Podcast, brought to you by ASCA, the Ambulatory Surgery Center Association. ASCA represents the interests of outpatient surgery centers of every specialty and provides advocacy and resources to assist them in delivering safe, high-quality, cost-effective patient care. As with all of ASCA's communications, please check to make sure you are listening to or viewing our most up-to-date podcasts and announcements.
Hello and welcome. My name is Bill Prentice. I'm the CEO of the Ambulatory Surgery Center Association, or ASCA, and the host of this podcast. In a moment, I'll be joined by two very special guests, Rebecca Craig and Janie Kinsey. Rebecca is the CEO of Harmony Surgery Center and Peak Surgical Management in Fort Collins, Colorado. Rebecca is also a registered nurse and the immediate past president of the ASCA Board of Directors. Janie Kinsey is also a registered nurse who serves as the CAS certified administrator of the Surgery Center of Kansas City. Janie is currently a member of ASCA's Board of Directors and a current vice president, and I thank them both for their service. I've asked Rebecca and Janie to come onto the ASC podcast for a discussion about keeping surgery centers safe as we enter the seventh or eighth month of this pandemic, depending upon when you're counting from, and concerns that the colder months ahead and the flu season could intensify the spread of the virus. Rebecca and Janie, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Well, great. Well, as you both know, but some of our listeners may not, ASC's adopted a number of protocols starting back in March to prevent the spread of the virus in facilities. And these included such things as screening questionnaires, face coverings for patients and staff, social distancing, additional cleaning and air circulation procedures, and in many cases, essentially eliminating waiting rooms for family or friends. But, you know, what I think is often overlooked when we talk about these new protocols is that all of the rigorous infection prevention procedures that were already in place that I think really helped with the pandemic. And I would surmise that those have done most of the work in keeping patients safe. Rebecca, do you agree?
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you bringing up the stringent infection prevention processes and procedures that we have in place even before COVID-19, which is why the ASC industry historically has had such low infection rates. It really did not take our industry much of a leap with the new protocols. And I would add that restricting family members or visitors is one of the new protocols that has actually been very beneficial. Anytime that you can decrease traffic, it reduces the potential for spreading bugs to our patients.
Janie, anything you'd like to add to that?
The only thing I agree 100% with what both of you have mentioned already would just be that when we continuously were changing during the beginning of the pandemic, that causes kind of a disruption and even a potential regression in what our staff is used to doing and has done so well for a number of years in preventing infections and spread of disease in our surgery center. So it's nice as we, as Rebecca said, made that leap and got to where we are today. We're seeing that transition and just the adoption of those new protocols, and it's making a difference for our patients and our staff members.
Those are some excellent points, and I'd like to follow up. But if I may, however, I'd first like to ask you both to stand by for just a moment so that we can hear a few words from the sponsor of today's podcast. We'll be back in just a moment.
Underwriting for the Advancing Surgical Care Podcast is brought to you by the Joint Commission, an independent, nonprofit standard-setting and accrediting body for ambulatory care organizations nationwide. For 45 years, the Joint Commission has helped ambulatory care organizations meet and exceed rigorous performance standards for improved patient safety and enhanced quality outcomes. Begin your journey today. Go to jointcommission.org.
Okay, let's take a step back and talk for a moment about the COVID-19 protocols we were mentioning just before. Regrettably, we continue to see too many Americans either failing to comply with the basic protocols or just letting their guard down out of fatigue with this new normal. What are each of you doing to keep your staff vigilant and to keep your patients in compliance? Janie?
So with the staff, we continue to provide the why and the data about the pandemic and our local infection rates and hospitalization rates. And the bottom line is it's part of their job. It's part of a requirement for being employed. So that's fairly simple to control that within the ASC environment just by mandating it. At this point, we have a few months behind us with these new protocols and with our patients that are a little bit cynical about you know, not being able to have their family with them, or why they have to wear a mask while they're in our facility. We just remind them that we, with that history, we've been very fortunate not to have patients or staff members getting sick or infected with the virus, and really many of the other viruses that are common during particularly this time of the year when we're entering into fall and the beginning of flu season. So just communicating is the bottom line.
Of course, always the best way to try and get that point, those points across. Rebecca, can you tell us anything about the experience at your surgery center? And do you have any advice for other ASC administrators who are, you know, working hard to stay vigilant and make sure that their team stays on top of everything?
My advice would be to stay strong. It is definitely a challenge, as there's a spectrum of beliefs out there. I understand patients, staff, and physicians are getting tired of wearing masks and social distancing, but what we're doing is working. So I think I'd just say keep strong. And then the other thing is just think ahead and ask your staff for ideas whenever possible. We are a large multi-specialty facility here, and we've struggled to find space for staff to social distance during lunch breaks and just their regular breaks. Thankfully, as we had the summer months going on, so many staff opted to go out to eat outside. But what we've been working on, and what I would hope that other folks are, you know, thinking ahead, you know, we're trying to figure out creative options during the winter months of how the staff's going to take their break and have their lunch and still social distance and be comfortable. So this is going to be even a bigger issue for smaller ASCs. I mean, I look at our space and I don't know how other folks are doing it, but I think, again, think ahead, look forward. And I think I just have to say, I'm confident that people are going to find ways, because we're so many high performers in this ASC industry. So I'm confident that they're going to do that.
I mean, those are great points. Janie, have you faced that challenge of thinking about with the winter coming and making it harder to for people, the staff, to be socially distant during breaks and things like that?
We have. We've had some brainstorming sessions that include putting the little heaters out on our patio so we can continue to eat outside. But in all seriousness, that is a challenge. And, you know, one of the things that makes ASCs so efficient and such a popular choice for physicians to perform is that we don't have a lot of wasted space and a lot of available space to extend that. So it does require just some creative thinking on all of our parts.
Very interesting. Well, I'm eager to hear both of you tell me your thoughts on whether or not it would make sense to add like any COVID-19 virus protocols or measures to our benchmarking survey. As you know, ASCA has a really substantial clinical, financial, and operational benchmarking program. And I'm wondering, since we don't know how long this pandemic will be around, but I think we can certainly foresee it existing at least half of the way into 2021. Should we be like putting some measures on there, some questions, so that we can kind of see how we're doing and allow ASCs to compare what they're doing in terms of whether it's processes or outcomes related to COVID? Rebecca, why don't I start with you?
I think adding to our benchmarking survey is a great idea. And I think it'll provide us even more data to show the excellent results and the safe outcomes even during a pandemic. So I would definitely be in favor of that. Also, I feel it is beneficial to have different team members performing random audits and or utilizing a checklist, I think would be helpful to promote a safe environment.
Well, that's great. And obviously, since the beginning of the pandemic, you know, ASCA on its website has been putting up checklists and different protocols for ASCs to use to try and keep themselves and their patients safe. So I'd encourage our listeners to look there. Janie, anything you'd like to add to that thought?
Yeah, no, I do think that adding both to the benchmarking and a checklist is helpful, particularly for our independent surgery centers that maybe don't have a corporate partner helping to develop those things and remind them. I think it serves maybe as a reminder. I think it's easy to get in the weeds as we're changing so rapidly the protocols and just trying to keep up. So, you know, what we are hearing is that as folks are being surveyed and, you know, the last couple of months as surveys have started up again, is that they are looking for specific information about how we manage COVID and how we are continuing to manage it. So I do think that could be helpful just as a reminder for our members.
That's great. We'll take that under advisement and we'll look to see whether we can add some things for 2021. Let's talk about patients for a moment. both the ones you're seeing every day, as well as the patients who you may not be seeing because they're delaying a necessary procedure or a surgery. And nationally, we know that the total number of procedures is down for the year because of the initial guides to suspend care, particularly in, you know, March, April, and into May and June. But also because of the new procedures and protocols that, you know, you've put in place to keep patients safe and ensure a clean environment has added a little bit of time to every procedure. So that slowed things down a bit. But it's also clear that a percentage of the population is still concerned about having surgery while the virus is still with us. So what are you telling patients, and what would you say to a patient who may be delaying an essential procedure? Janie?
Well, it's similar to what we would tell patients who aren't a big fan of our new protocols. It's just a, you know, reminder of all the things that we've added for their protection, and, you know, the universal masking and the visitor limitations and all of our, you know, as we've mentioned, the rigorous infection prevention protocols that were already in place. But ultimately, the choice to have surgery is a big decision, and we always defer to the patient. I mean, this isn't really anything new. We've always have the struggle with patients who at the last minute kind of wonder if they're doing the right thing and get a little nervous. So it's the same reassuring measures that we've always used, really.
Thanks, Janie. Rebecca, what are you telling patients, and what reassurances are you giving any reluctant patients that, you know, you or your doctors are talking to?
Bill, this is a tough one because it is hard to overcome the negative news that the public is bombarded with every day. But I would hope that I could educate future patients on the risks of postponing a procedure or a surgery and the negative impacts that it could have on their health. I absolutely agree with what Janie was saying too, but I think I would also just try to educate them about the risk of postponing. I would reassure folks that the protocols in place are definitely keeping patients, staff, and physicians safer than ever. We are also keeping up the patient video on COVID-19 that ASCA produced for us, and we have that on our website to let everybody know the strict protocols that we are following. I think that's been really helpful too.
That's great. Well, hopefully those messages are getting through to patients and their families, and that we're going to be able to keep them, you know, not only safe, but obviously healthy. Well, we're just about out of time. I'd like to, again, thank Rebecca, Craig, and Janie Kinsey for participating in the podcast, for their contributions in helping to lead ASCA. Rebecca, as your role is, you know, on the board previously, and Janie in your current role. And to thank them both for what they do every day to keep their patients and their medical teams healthy and safe. Rebecca, thanks.
Well, Bill, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I just want to say thank you to all my ASC colleagues that are doing such a fantastic job. Keep up the great work. We are so proud of our industry and the excellence that we represent. We will all get through this together.
Thank you. Janie, thank you as well.
Thank you.
This concludes today's episode of the ASC Podcast. As always, if anyone listening has thoughts or suggestions for future podcasts, please don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. I'd also like to thank our sponsor for the Advancing Surgical Care podcast, the Joint Commission, a leading accreditation organization helping to keep outpatient surgery as safe as possible for both patients and the healthcare professionals who care for them. Until next time, please wear a mask, practice social distancing, wash your hands so we can all stay safe and healthy.